Mr. Chairman, you may begin.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, 10:02 a.m. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Christman, so we do have a quorum. Again, this is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission. I don't really have any opening comments other than welcome everybody. Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I don't have any opening comments either. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Commissioner Christman?
Well, I haven't for a while, so I'll fill the void, Mr. Chairman. Last week, we had a meeting of the Lignite Research Council for a grant round for the first half of this year. And keep in mind, the LRC makes these recommendations and then they go to the Industrial Commission. And so that's kind of the final recommendation. We had a couple of projects. One was a smaller one for a lab scale experiment check into the possibility of coal-derived graphene, which is a building product. The one I really wanted to talk about was submitted by Midwest Ag Energy, so kind of think of Blue Flint Ethanol up at the Great River Energy site there. And the project would be to complete a test well and collect data and core samples and such there near Blue Flint Ethanol to learn about the permeability and the porosity of the core for future carbon storage. And it's an interesting project and potentially has long-term benefit to the lignite industry in that it could entice a potential buyer of the Great River Energy Plant to be more interested than they would be otherwise. But it's also a significant situation in that the plans are to close that plant and potentially change Blue Flint over to a different fuel source than lignite. And so out of a nearly $7 million project, they're asking for almost half of it, about 49%, from the Lignite Research Council. And that really concerns me because if the plan follows as GRE has laid out and that coal mine and plant cease, the LRC is going to need their resources to work with the coal industry that remains, I think. And so I want to emphasize here, this is a very likely possibility that the geology is good for core sampling because of other tests they've done. And this is would just kind of assure that it's a possibility before someone would go ahead with the carbon capture process on the plant itself. But so I made a motion in the meeting and it passed overwhelmingly to add a contingency that if the future fuel source is switched in the next 5 years to something other than lignite, this contingency would provide that 100% of the funding that came through the LRC would need to be paid back. And so that is, I think, a responsible thing to do. We took a similar position years ago. The LRC did a combination of a loan and a grant to the ethanol plant at Richardton when it was originally planned to be a coal-fueled ethanol plant. And of course, the loan had to be repaid back anyway, but the grant portion of it, there was a contingency that if they switched fuel sources, it would need to be paid back. They did switch fuel sources. They did pay it back. And so I think following that same track on this one is really important. Again, it'll be up before the Industrial Commission. I haven't looked at their agenda, but I presume that they're meeting later this week. And just wanted to report to you on that action by the Lignite Research Council.
All right, great report. And very important work as well. Okay, moving into the agenda items, we have one item on consent and previous minutes. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, all those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved. Sorry, Commissioner.
All right, I have one item on, or no, actually I have several items, but my first item on the regular agenda, I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in Public Service Commission, Rendry Electric Cooperative Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number PU-18-374.
Second.
Okay, a hearing on the damage prevention enforcement complaint filed by advocacy staff on December 2nd, 2019. In this case, is scheduled at 8 a.m. Central Time on July 21st, 2020, at the Public Service, North Dakota Public Service Commission hearing room. At this point, and again, there's a caveat to this potentially, but at this point in time, it's scheduled at the hearing room, 12th floor, at the state capitol, and it might be held remotely instead due to the state of emergency in accordance with the governor's executive order on contingent, and that's contingent on future developments as well. For the case, advocacy staff alleges that Rendry Electric Cooperative, North Dakota Cooperative Association, authorized to do business in North Dakota, and subject to jurisdiction of the North Dakota Public Service Commission, as it relates to North Dakota One Call. We do have a North Dakota One Call complaint from an individual that indicates that the violation by Rendry was that the underground facility was not marked correctly within 24 inches, which would be horizontally on either side of the center line. And by failing to mark that, there was the potential for both damage and injury. So we will, again, have a hearing. We'll have the opportunity to hear all sides of the argument. One point I would make on this is that Rendry, as most utilities, would outsource the location function, or having the lines located by a third party, which they did. And but ultimately, as the law states, that the operator is still responsible. So again, we'll hear all the details on that. I look forward to it, and make sure that whatever ruling we come up with is fair and just, and whether or not a civil penalty should be assessed, if that should occur, what the amount would be, and the first, of course, thing that we would have to verify would be that Rendry did in fact violate the North Dakota Century Code 49-23, which is the one call law. And that would conclude my comments. Commissioner Fedorchak?
I think you covered it, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any comments at this point.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Kristen?
Nothing to add, thanks.
Okay, Steve, I believe we are ready for a vote.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, my next item, and I have three now items, three more agenda items. They are all the same. They were a part of a joint filing. So I will go through the first one for one of the three companies that are in the joint filing, and then probably not give a lot of commentary on the next two. I'll cover it in the first one. With that said, I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Deferred Accounting COVID-19 application, case number PU-20-191.
Second.
Okay, on this, on April 24th, 2020, Montana Dakota Utilities Company filed an application for authority for deferred accounting to track financial effects of the COVID-19 pandemic and record and defer such effects as a regulatory asset. The issue to be considered in this proceeding is whether the commission should grant deferred accounting treatment for the financial impacts due to the pandemic. Those interested are invited to comment on writing on the application, or in writing on the application. People or persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding, and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 11th, 2020. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. For more information, you can contact, for anyone who would like more information, they can contact the Public Service Commission at 701-328-2400. And just in a nutshell, utilities are experiencing unanticipated costs due to the COVID-19 pandemic. They might range, and then I use the word might because we have to get the facts first, but they could range from an increase in bad debt, uncollectible amounts that individuals or businesses may owe as a result of the pandemic, although companies are working with individuals quite well, I believe, to determine payment plans that might be better suited for their current situation. So they've been working with them on that. But just from working from home to equipping personnel or having equipped personnel in the field with proper equipment to work from home, and a number of other things, the cost of doing business can certainly increase in times like this. And the reason for deferred accounting is if this was not granted, and of course we still have to determine that it is in fact prudent, but if it's determined to be prudent, we can't backtrack without issuing a notice of opportunity for hearing. That would be retroactive rate making, which we cannot do. So that is the purpose of this, so we can take a look at those expenses, take them into account, and then move forward in the appropriate fashion. Commissioner Fedorchak, any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I did have a question regarding procedure. Do you have any thoughts on how you want to proceed with this in terms of an informal or work session, or what you're thinking of it beyond this notice of opportunity for hearing?
Right. At this point in time, I think the best approach would be to start gathering additional expense that companies are incurring, review the extent, to what extent have they been impacted financially, and then make a determination. I think if it's a very short list and it's understandable in nature, I don't know that I would advocate for a hearing. But on the other hand, if we start to see expenses that we have questions about, then I think an informal would be appropriate just to get more details from the company. Advocacy, of course, will be working with all three companies monitoring what type of financial impact they're experiencing. So I think at this point it's early. This is really to get ahead of this, so we don't get into a situation where it becomes retroactive rate making, which of course we can't do.
From my understanding is they've asked for deferred accounting. This motion today doesn't provide for it. It provides for notice of opportunity for hearing and then a decision on the deferred accounting later, whether we'll be granting that. Is that your understanding too?
That is my understanding.
Okay.
Correct.
So I guess in reading their applications, I mean, obviously these are unprecedented times and there's all kinds of extra precautions that have needed to be taken. The applications were fairly general in terms of what those costs might be. So from my perspective, I'd kind of like to set an informal just to have them come in and give us a little more detail. I mean, this was actually put together a month ago, so things maybe have changed quite a lot even in that month time. And so they might have more clarity in terms of what sorts of extraordinary expenses they are experiencing, and so that there's a little more information on which to base the need for the deferred accounting. So if it's all right to, from my perspective, that's kind of what I'd like to do, is maybe even during admin scheduling, schedule an informal to talk through that with the companies.
Okay, I think that sounds reasonable to me. So we'll add it to admin discussion, and then we can hear more at that point in time from advocacy and staff, and make it go forward from there. Commissioner Crispin, do you have any comments?
I do, and first I'll address that. I don't object to having an informal, but I think there's a lot that we're not going to know yet, you know, because this is still raging on. We're still learning new things. State Health Department and the CDC are both, you know, learning more and changing things. And I just don't know how the company is going to have really a good explanation of what the impacts are going to be in the near term. So while I'm okay with doing an informal, I would also be okay with waiting until, what is it, July 11th or something, when this opportunity for a formal hearing request ends, and see whether we're going to be having a formal hearing or not, and then decide on an informal. So I'm okay with that on either way. But the other thing that I wanted to say about the request in general, if ultimately deferred accounting is granted, I want the ratepayers to understand that this isn't just an open season, that means that the company just throws in whatever they want to call a cost. And Mr. Chairman, you did mention this, but I wanted to emphasize it a little bit more than you did, that it's not just that they can throw in anything they want. The deferred accounting would allow the commission then to evaluate the recoverability of the requests that they make. And so there's still going to be a thorough look at it. And then the last thing, I just wanted to emphasize to the companies that I expect, if it comes to that, and I'm sure it will, because I think it's quite likely they're going to have additional net costs because of this. But there probably are some savings involved too. And it's early, so I haven't given a lot of thought to it, but just one that comes to mind, in that we have allowed for estimating of some meter readings for some of the companies, rather than having someone going and taking actual monthly readings. That must be some savings of not having someone out doing those meter readings. And so I expect them to be keeping track of their savings as well, and netting them out for future accounting.
Well, I think some interesting points. I think one of the challenges every business has right now, with the uncertainty on whether or not, in terms of the length of time that this will persist, the pandemic and the impact to staff, I don't know that any of the utilities have had conducted layoffs, just because it's still relatively early and you don't know when individuals can get back into the field and work. So those individuals, to my understanding, that would normally be checking meters are still working, doing other functions. And similar to our inspectors, for example, they've been limited up until now. I think things are starting to loosen up, but they're still on the clock. They're still on payroll, and that's one of the challenges of COVID-19. You don't know how long this is going to go. But to your point, we always scrutinize, in our job as a commission, is to scrutinize costs. And I don't I would hope it has never been open season on what utilities can or cannot get recovery on. I think we've been very stringent during my time on the commission and fair at the same time. And I would certainly hope that that was the case previously. And from what I've seen by going through records, it certainly was. So I think the public can have full confidence that we are watching these things very closely. But at the same time, we're being fair, and we want utilities that are healthy at the same time, because they do employ people, as mentioned. So it's a balance, and ultimately, healthy utilities, low-cost utility service, and reliable service as well are the goals. So, Commissioner Fedorchak, anything further you would like to add?
Just to comment on Randy's point about the timing of the informal. I'm not set on having it, you know, in a week or two or whatever. The timing isn't as a bigger concern to me as just making sure that we have the chance to sit down with the companies and touch base with them on where things are right now. I think they'll be able to give us a lot of good information, much more than we currently have, in terms of what kind of costs they're incurring, and it can be used as a perhaps a baseline for how it might affect future costs as well, if they've got a couple months experience and can look ahead and apply that same sort of formula to the future. If this continues for 6 months or 10 months, or maybe things have they've adapted and are more normal than we think in another month. So I think it's really important to get a touch base with them in the next month or so to see where things are and get a feel for what kind of extra expenses, categories, maybe amounts that they are experiencing, so we can prepare for what the impacts might be longer term.
I would agree. Commissioner Christman, anything further you would like to add?
Nope, nothing else.
Okay, thank you. Steve, I don't have any other comments, so we are ready for a vote on the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, and as mentioned, the next two motions would apply to the other two investor-owned utilities that we regulate. I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing at Northern States Power Company, deferred accounting, COVID-19 application, case number PU-20-192.
Second.
Okay, and this is the exact same thing, just we have three, again, investor-owned utilities, so the comments that I made before would apply to this as well, so I don't have anything further other than just, again, comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 11th, 2020. Commissioner Fedorchak, comments?
No more comments on this one either.
Commissioner Christman?
No, sir, nothing to add.
Okay, Steve?
We have a motion. Sorry. We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, and my final item, I move the commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing an Otter Tail Power Company, deferred accounting, COVID-19, application case number PU-20-193.
Second.
Okay, and again, this is the same process, same procedure as the previous two. And once again, comments and requests for hearing must be received by July 11, 2020. Commissioner Fedorchak?
No additional comments, sir.
One last time. Commissioner Christman?
Everything's been covered.
Okay, Steve, we're ready.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, that concludes my agenda items. Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Say, before I get started, is there a long delay in my audio?
Not normally.
No. Okay. I couldn't tell. All right. I have two motions today. The first, I move the commission adopt the order on request for abeyance of decision in Russo Wind Partners, LLC, Russo Wind Project, McLean and Ward Counties, citing application case number PU-19-28, and in Russo Wind Partners, LLC, 230 KV transmission line, McHenry and Ward County, citing application case number PU-19-29.
Second.
So this is an order that basically it's a request for an abeyance of the decision that would basically obey our decision until after completion of the 2021st North Dakota legislative session. And basically, the project wants to have an opportunity to see what kind of action is taken in the legislative session, and then we might be able to revisit it at that time, or they can request for us to revisit the decision or take any other opportunities for reconsideration of this project. And this is something that Commissioner Christman, I believe you mentioned in your comments when we made the decision a few months ago what was the decision that we actually made? Was it in January? I forget when we made the actual decision on this one. We didn't deny it, denied the order. What did we actually do that was slightly different than denying the order? And this would allow them to come back and have us reconsider that decision. I approved it, but you two did something different.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, what we did in that case was we voted down the motion to approve the certificate.
Oh, that's right.
And so it's literally just hanging there now. There was not a subsequent motion to deny.
Right, and this is all related to the lighting issue that the state law requires. You guys viewed it to be a requirement that they have the ADLS lighting system, or that there can't be a project at all. And so the company, I think, believes that the legislature will take up this matter in the next legislative session and perhaps provide some different context for reviewing this project in the future. And so this just puts the project on hold until that time and gives the company some flexibility down the road. I don't have any objections to this matter, and so I'm turning it over to you two if you have any additional comments or concerns on this request.
Commissioner Christman?
I do not, Mr. Chairman.
I guess I do have one question on it, and since the certificate was not approved but the case was left open, is this a necessary step since it's, you know, essentially an open case, or is this due to the fact that it would expire at a certain time, or just to give them a little more certainty that it is in fact subject to a different review going forward?
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question, and I am afraid I can't answer that, but perhaps if Jack or Brian are on the phone, they might be able to interject and offer some perspective there.
Jack or Brian, either of you, I don't. Brian, I see you are on the call.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I believe we're on kind of some constraints with making a decision. You know, these cases, I don't know that, I can't think off the top of my head the technicalities of the time frame, but when we get a case, you know, we can't just ignore it and let it drag out forever. And so I think this action would kind of leave us of a requirement to reach more of a decision in the matter and actually deny it or approve it. So, but I see Brian has a mic on, and so he can probably explain it a lot better than I can.
Brian?
It's depending on when the application was put in, I don't know if it's in danger of expiring, but this does put it on a clear path for it to continue to move forward. I don't know if we're in danger of it expiring, but it does give a clear indication to the company that it is on hold, and we'll deal with it after the legislative session.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner.
I was just going to follow that question up with my assumption is that the ball is in the company's court for following any action that following the legislative session.
Commissioner Crispin?
This is probably more of a question for Brian, but I'm thinking that one of the key things here from the company's perspective would be if this is put in abeyance, it's just sort of hanging there. And if there's legal changes made by the legislature, I'm thinking that a decision could be made by the commission then without going through the full hearing process and going back and doing everything all over again. Whereas if it does eventually reach an expiration date or had we denied it and then they change the law, then the next step, they would have to start all over with a whole new application and the whole hearing process.
I think both of you are correct. I believe it does put it in the company's court to move forward after legislative session if they choose to do so at that point. So it does place the ball in their court. And I think you're correct, Commissioner Crispin, that too, it allows us to continue in the process without having to start over.
Just one more point to follow up in the order reads that within 60 days of completion of the legislative session, Russo Wynn shall advise the commission whether it will proceed with the cases. So, and that's both for the transmission line and the wind generation facility.
Okay, so ultimately then, this is really in the hands of the legislative body in terms of the decision they make on lighting requirements. So I think that will be an interesting process to see how they approach it moving forward. Commissioner Crispin, did you have any other comments?
Nope, nothing more to add.
Okay, and Commissioner Fedorchuk, are you ready for a vote?
I am just about ready. I will make one additional comment that I have received some draft rule changes from Basin Electric that provide the path forward for dealing with this matter through our rules, and I've been working with Jack a little bit on that. So that is something that we may be discussing in the coming months as we look at future rule packages as another option.
Okay, thank you. Steve, I believe we are ready to move forward with a vote.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Randy, for helping me remember what we specifically did the last time on that one in terms of not approving versus denying. All right, on my second and last motion, I move the commission find the formal complaint filed by Keith and Deanna Kessler on April 27, 2020, states a prima facie case, and serve the complaint on the respondent in Keith and Deanna Kessler versus Minnesota Power, a division of Elite Incorporated, complaint case number PU-20-194.
Second.
This is a complaint over the location of a wind tower on a project that was constructed way back in 2013, or approved in 2013, I believe, and constructed thereafter. The complainant is actually a participating landowner, but this is on a location of a tower that was not in a participating on a participating tract, and it kind of goes back a long ways. The company and this couple have had a number of issues, some of which they worked out through a mediator, and this is sort of the last remaining issue that they haven't been able to come to agreement on. It's really a complaint regarding the location of a turbine that is near what they determined to be an occupied residence, and the company had determined it to be an unoccupied residence. And it is closer than the 1,400 feet setback required of an occupied residence. And so this basically just takes the complaint and says that, you know, it's a prima facie case, and moves it down to the next step, which is provides the complaint to the company, and then they'll respond. We'll most likely end up setting up a formal hearing in the not too distant future, and unless the two parties are able to come to terms separately at this point. So that's where we're at with this one, and I will stand for any questions if any of you guys have that, or move to vote.
Commissioner Christman?
No questions.
And I don't have any questions either.
We have a motion and a second, and sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk. Commissioner Christman?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I had four items on the agenda, but the first one, which is case number AM-20-180, we're still waiting on some paperwork, so that's been withdrawn. So I'll move right into RC2. I move the commission execute a contract with TerraCon Consultants Incorporated of West Fargo, North Dakota, in the amount of $885,910 for drilling and pressurized grouting for the 2020 Williams County Road 9 Phase 8 AML project.
Second.
So in mid-March, our AML division issued an invitation for bid for this project. The project involves drilling and grouting into underground mine workings beneath an industrial complex that we've talked about several times before, just outside Williston. The AML division estimates the project will require 5,000 feet of rotary drilling, 1,000 feet of casing, 90 feet of coring, and 3,500 cubic yards of grout to fill those voids. Competitive bidding procedures were used. The bid opening was held on April 23rd, and we only received one bid, this one, for $885,910. Now, our staff's preliminary estimate was $750,000, so this is considerably higher. But the contract has been signed with Terracon, and we have received the performance and payment bonds, a certificate of liability insurance, and the other materials that were requested. And I do want to emphasize that despite that this is a higher bid than what we really expected, it was the only one, and the AML division does have sufficient funds in our grant for this and our other projects planned for 2020. Last thing I just want to reemphasize, this is that project, and we worked on it last year, and it became much larger as we did more drilling and exploration than expected. And there are some businesses that set up there that did not know there were underground mine workings at the time. And you know, it's not just a theory that there's these, or it's not just that there's voids underneath. You know, flooring is caving in and parking lots, you know, areas can't be used. And it is a serious issue and an important project.
Commissioner Fedorchuk, any comments?
No comments.
You know, this was just more of a, I guess it's a few comments of sort, but I continue to be incredibly impressed with how this particular program works, and that we have a network of underground mines in North Dakota. In certain locations, obviously, they aren't under every section of land, but they certainly do exist, to your point, Commissioner Crispin, and I think this is incredibly important work. It doesn't often get as much attention, I don't believe, as it might deserve, because public safety, pipeline safety, rail safety, and this type of safety work is incredibly important. So. Good work that needs to be done. And Commissioner Crisman, any other comments?
I guess I'll just add to that and then say that for people that are listening that are unfamiliar with the program, it's not like we're out and filling every void that we know of, because you're right, there are lots of these out there. Our funding actually comes from the active mining industry, who has been very generous over the years in actually supporting the tax on themselves. It's a federal program, and we get a grant from the federal program on it, but it all comes from active coal mining projects, these dollars. And we would be far from able to fill everything out there that we're aware of. We work on the cases that pose the most significant public hazard.
Yeah, and really, this is incredibly unique in the sense that these abandoned mines, the companies that are creating or providing the funding, had nothing to do with these. These were from companies from way back when, entities that are long gone. So it's unique and impressive in the fact, when you look at the fact that you have an active industry that is taking care of their predecessors, that they had no financial ties and ultimately really no obligation to them. The fact that they do this, I think deserves kudos without question. Any further comments, Commissioner Christman or Commissioner Fedorchuk?
I do not.
Nope, okay. You guys said it well.
I think we're ready.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, RC3, I move the commission execute a contract with Materials Testing Services LLC of Minot, North Dakota, in the amount of $27,725 for material testing and associated services for the 2020 Williams County Road 9 Phase 8 Material Testing AML project.
Second.
So this is the testing for that very same project. And again, in March, the AML division had the invitation for bid for this project. The project involves the testing materials to fill those voids. The competitive bidding procedures were followed. The bid opening was held April 23rd. Again, we only had one bid on this project, and that, as I mentioned, was $27,725. Our staff's preliminary estimate was very close for $28,500, so this one did come in a little bit under estimate. The contract has been signed with Material Testing Services, and we've received performance and payment bonds, a certificate of liability insurance, and the other materials that we requested. The AML division, again, does have sufficient funds in our grant for this and for our other projects that are planned for this year.
Commissioner Fedorchak?
No comments, thank you.
And I don't have any either.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, for my final item in my portfolio, RC4, I move the commission publish notice of the 2020-2021 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota. Public Service Commission telecommunications relay service miscellaneous case number PU-20-204.
Second.
So on April 21st of 1993, the great Governor Ed Schaefer signed House Bill 1028 establishing a program to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communications impaired. The program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by customers. This program is administered by the Information Technology Department of North Dakota, and then the PSC calculates the surcharge based on the information provided by ITD. So we've collected the surcharge, and this will be included on customers' bills, and it will come out same as it was before, at 3 cents per access line per month.
Hey, Commissioner Fedorchak, any comments?
No comments.
And I don't have any either.
We have a motion and a second. Sensing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
That concludes my portfolio, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Christman. At this point in time, in terms of announcements, today at 1:30, we do have a rail service and safety stakeholder discussion. I look forward to that. Again, that will be at 1:30 today. And then our next regular commission meeting is on June 10th at 10 o'clock. And I would anticipate for the next commission meeting, we will be doing it as we have the past. I've been doing them for the past several months. So at some point in time, I look forward to getting back to a more normal pattern. But I think we've been moving along incredibly well. And have been very efficient in how we've conducted business. So we're getting the work done regardless. So I think that's a good thing, obviously. With that, I think we will take a brief recess to see if there are any questions from the press. And then we'll move into the admin portion of the meeting. So this meeting is now in recess. And Steve, I will just defer to you on whether or not we have anyone on the line.
Mr. Chairman,